You're listening to Resonance 104.4 FM. Many thanks to Paul of Art Rocker magazine for the last 90 minutes. Now we have the bike show, this week presented by Jen Kerrison.
Welcome to the bike show. I'm Jen Kerrison. Jack's having a well-deserved night off tonight, so for about the next 30 minutes, it's just you, me, and our amazing guests. Now, it's not unusual for cyclist conversations to meander across topics such as legends, style, comfort, and the like. But with London's biking boom, there are old topics that seem to be reappearing in our vernacular. Yes, that's right, words like mitering, jigs and brazing, they're all back in our conversations as many cyclists return to grassroots and the beauty and art of the handmade frame. Tonight we'll be chatting with Andrew Denham, who's the founder of the Bicycle Academy, a frame building school with a very big difference. First, let's take a look at adults who return to cycling after many years of absence. And there's no doubt that in recent years, London's seen a growing number of people choosing two wheels, either for their means of transport or indeed just for a source of recreation. Certainly in the past couple of months, everyone around me seems to have bought themselves a new bike and started riding again. Like Miranda, who got back on a bike and started riding around central London, despite the fact she hadn't ridden since she was a little kid.
I rode one when I was quite small, I think probably about 11, 12. I grew up in quite a small city north of Cambridge, very flat in the fens, and I used to ride there occasionally, but I haven't really ridden since. No, I rode on the pavement with my jeans rolled up. I never went very far. I used to cycle to like a local social club that I used to go to a couple of nights a week. I felt like a huge adventure, but I have no road sense. I mean, I never needed any.
Never needed any road sense then, but it's London, and I guess we all know that riding in London is just so different to riding around our local neighbourhoods or boroughs when we were kids. But that's the worry. Most adults returning to cycling just trundle out of the shop on their shiny new steed, with or without a shiny new helmet, and the very next day, having mapped out their route, they've rolled out the door into central London traffic. 28-year-old Susie is case in point. She rode her first bike in a long time 3 months ago.
I cycle all over London for sort of various different things, often on in quite highly congested areas. Quite often I end up on a really busy road at rush hour, which is kind of scary. And I hadn't properly cycled since I was probably about 17, 18. But I just thought I'd jump back on, I love it. But I hadn't done it for quite a while. I rode it home from Evans, and it was excellent, but I think that was mainly because I was just so excited. So I'm not sure that I was the safest cyclist that day.
My name is Andrew and I'm 31 years old. I got my bike approximately 1 month ago. I use my bike to commute from Hackney. I work in central London in the West End, so I ride of a morning from Hackney into Mayfair. It's been years since I've ridden a bike. I think the last time I probably rode a bike was when I was a child, so probably around about 10 or 11 years of age.
So it's been 20 years since you've been riding a bike regularly. How did you feel in that first week of riding your bike?
I felt strange. I felt quite liberated. I've never actually ridden. I grew up sort of north of Sydney, and so it was, I guess you could say it's like a country town. So I'm only used to riding a sort of a pushy up and down, you know, the street that we lived on. So hardly any cars. I've never ridden actually in a city before, in a busy city. So extremely nerve-wracking, but also quite exciting as well.
My name's Miranda Cook. I'm 40. And I've been riding a bike in London for a couple of months, beginning of July. I moved back into the middle of town, and so there are Boris bikes everywhere. And I really wanted to try cycling. It just seemed like a really good idea, and I thought rather than splash out on a bike and not really know what I wanted, I would just try those and see how it went. So I used those, which experienced cyclists tell me are very, very heavy, but I have no clue, really. So I use those, and I tend to go sort of generally not further than sort of 20, 25 minutes, so I'm normally within the free half hour. But I forever seem to be going across Waterloo Bridge at rush hour, which is pretty terrifying, actually.
Yeah, Waterloo Bridge can terrify me too. Each time I hear of someone I know taking to London's roads as a new or returning cyclist, I do sometimes get scared for them. I think maybe they need learner's plates on their backs or something like that so that we know to keep clear or at least be supportive. It's not that I feel London is a particularly dangerous place to ride, but I do think that for a novice or an adult who's returning to cycling after years and years of absence, our roads can be quite dangerous.
I was in Angel not so long ago, and there was a bendy bus, and the guy just, and I was, you know, I shouldn't have been on the left of him, but he was going straight ahead. I was about to turn left into a little road, and he just didn't consider me, and just sort of, yeah, just the back of the bus just knocked me, and I went into a pothole, and then sort of came off, and I was absolutely fine, but I made excuses not to go out on my bike for about 2 weeks because it just knocked me. I don't think I wanted to say that I was scared, but it certainly knocked my confidence, and it didn't. And it made me less keen to get out on my bike, which is disappointing.
So we know that cycling can be really scary sometimes, and a knockback like Susie's can turn new cyclists off the roads just about as quickly as they arrived on the roads. So if your mates just bought a new bicycle from their local Halfords or a store like that, and they're riding to and from work each day, maybe unaware that their cycling skills could be improved, and maybe they've forgotten some of those skills they had when they were a kid, or in fact just need more specialist ones for being on London's roads, we know that these could possibly make them safer and more confident. But how do we get them into the cycling community and perhaps into something like cycle training? Mike Cavanagh from the London Cycling Campaign explains why no stats exist on cyclists, new cyclists, and what the LCC suggests we do to encourage new cyclists to keep safer and stay on our roads.
I mean, it's almost like cycling is something of a new thing in Transport for London and the Department of Transport. A lot of the cycling statistics aren't very good in all manner of the length of journeys taken, the type of people who are cycling. I think they're improving, but they certainly need to catch up, because encouraging people to cycle is often about behaviour change. And the more you know about the people who are choosing to cycle, then the more effective you can be. We love new cyclists. You know, new cyclists are great because someone who's chosen to ride a bicycle is not driving a car. They're not using public transport, which is not, you know, bad in itself, but public transport costs money. So the idea that we can get more people cycling is great. And one key way of doing that is to provide the right infrastructure for them. But assuming that a cyclist is starting to cycle today, they're going to go out on the streets that are out there today. They can't go out on the streets that are going to be there in 10 years' time, we hope. Unfortunately, you have to mix it with cars and lorries here, because that's the way that London is designed. We'd say that's a flawed design. If you want to encourage lots of new cyclists, Because of the situation that they're put into, where you do have to interact with sometimes fast-moving vehicles, sometimes large vehicles, sometimes heavy flows of motor vehicles, there are certain skills which allow you to do that a lot more safely. And I've had cycle training, even though I'm quite experienced, we had it as part of, most people in the office get cycle training. And I found it incredibly effective. It taught me a lot of things that I didn't know, even though I've been riding, in cities in London for 10 years. It does you no harm to get an expert who does this day in, day out to take you on the streets and say, Mike, you're still doing a bit of this or you're not doing a bit of that. It's really very useful. So, I would even say to all the experienced listeners out there, go and get cycle training. You can get it often free from your local borough. And that's for like two or three hours, which is a really, very, very useful. So I would recommend that to anyone. I guess my main point is that if you are a new cyclist, cycle training is incredibly effective. Because there are often, there are lots of different types of junction. There are lots of different, it's just good to have someone give you an overview. And especially if you can do it on your route, if you're going to do like a regular journey, it might be to your partner's place, or it might be to your workplace or to your gym or something like that, but to ride a route that is a practical route that you're going to do often, and to have someone along there to sort of pick out the where the risk might be increased is very, very useful.
So the LCC recommends cycle training, and it sounds like, why not? It's free, and it certainly doesn't sound like it can hurt. But what do people think about cycle training? I only just discovered that you could get cycle training in London myself. And I wasn't quite sure what it would look like or what it would seem like. And most of the new cyclists that I spoke to, they're pretty ambivalent about it at best and dead against it at worst.
I imagine that having cycling lessons would be like when you have them at school and everyone's got on their little reflective gear and their Hello Kitty helmets, and you're sort of cycling in a straight line around some cones in a school, in the back in school playground, which is what I did when I was younger. I kind of imagine it would be like that. I think a lot of cycling is to do with common sense, and I think that you could, train again and again and again and again and again, but if you haven't got any common sense on how to read a road, then you shouldn't be out on a bike.
Do you think that you would benefit from cycle training?
I think that any cyclist would probably benefit from cycling training. I think someone that even had been on the road for 20 years would probably benefit from someone, reminding them. So, yeah, I guess I could benefit from a cycling class, but I'm not sure how much I would want to go.
Am I a good rider? I don't know. How would I know? What makes a good rider? I think so. I mean, I do. I have wondered about doing. I know Camden Council, where I live, do cycling training. I don't know if all the boroughs do. I think they probably do. And I have wondered about doing that, especially for sort of things like junctions and roundabouts and all that sort of those sorts of tactics, which I think, as I cycle more, which I will do, would be really useful. But yeah, I think I'm a good rider. I drive, which I think helps enormously, so I am aware of kind of road tactics in that sense. Yeah.
Now, I don't know very many people who've done cycle training, and I actually had pretty much the same idea of cycle training as Susie. A little bit dated, maybe a little bit Brady Bunch with witches' hats and someone with a whistle in a school field and lots of high-vis vests and big old helmets. But is this really what cycle training is like? And if it is, can it really be of that much benefit? Festus Williams is a London-based cycle trainer.
A lot that could be improved. Things can always be better. There's a lot of monkey see, monkey do. It's I don't get a sense that cycling was kind of cycle training has been a uniform thing for a lot of cyclists. So it's funny. You can be at a traffic light, wait, one person goes through the red light, and everyone all of a sudden follows. So as I said, it's monkey see, monkey do. It's primarily having an awareness of what's going on around you. Knowing what's in front of you, who's behind you, whereabouts they are behind you, listening to the sound of engines, listening to the sound of that rusty chain of the guy that's really panting to keep up behind you as well. understanding road laws and actual signs and road markings, and understanding that ultimately pedestrians have the right of way, which is something that I don't think a lot of people realise or care about. Your heavy goods vehicles, lorries, the awareness also spreads to them, knowing where they are and kind of understanding what their limitations are. So you kind of start to rule out by elimination that if a truck's in that position, it's unlikely they're going to be turning there, therefore that space may be usable. A truck is just an inanimate object that's controlled by another human being who's just like me, who, you know, maybe just as forgetful as me and maybe just as tired as me, but ultimately there's a person behind there. So I try not to kind of, you know, say all trucks are bad. Unless you actually know what the course content is, cycle training, the word training in itself, it's quite a... It doesn't conjure up a rock and roll. Well, it depends on the individual, but in my mind, a lot of people kind of let their egos get the better of them. So when you say cycle training, they immediately... You can see there's shoulder slump. What it is, it doesn't sound like the title of it. It's a lot more in-depth and a lot more interesting than it's made to sound. And I think a lot of people switch off. They think, I don't need it, I'm fine. You'll get some people who are very open-minded and will ask more questions about it, but a lot of people don't want to know. Well, one of the problems with cycle training is to do with its PR, where 99% of the photographs that I see or imagery attached to cycle training tend to be of a load of kids in high-vis vests and helmets, and the instructors are also the same. Lycra and high-vis vest people, and that can be quite off-putting, so... Cycle training, I think, needs to kind of try to appeal to, for want of a better, I can't say normal cyclists, but it needs to be a bit more rounded in its appeal. But you get some people who think, well, I've ridden a BMX as a kid, I've ridden for quite a lot of my life, why do I need you to teach me how to cycle? Whereas when you think about it, it's the actual skills for riding on road is what you're being taught. It's the packaging that's not appealing.
It's just like riding a bike.
Yeah.
That's the saying, isn't
it? It is, in effect. And that's where the whole thing potentially falls down. It's difficult because a lot of the cycle infrastructure conditions cyclists to think that, number one, I've got to stay on the very left of my lane. And because of the green boxes that you get at selective traffic lights, they're conditioned to think, number one, I've got to stay in the gutter or on the left. Irrespective of whether you're turning into that junction or that side road that leads off of it, they still position themselves there. And then also, I must get to the front of the queue at all costs. Even if that box is full up with cyclists, people are still trying to stream in there. Well, if you're quite new to cycling and you see some paint on the floor and there's a bike on it, obviously you think, well, great, that's for me, that's where I'm meant to be. Now, logically, nobody can make an argument for advising a cyclist to ride on into the mouth of a junction that you're not going to turn into. If you're going straight on, surely you should stick in the middle of your lane. But the cycle infrastructure doesn't reflect that. You see it at 9 to 5 mornings and evenings. It's absolute madness. It really, really, really is madness. And there's no logic, there's no thought goes into it. It's monkey see, monkey do. If he goes into that box, I'm going to go into the box. If she jumps the red light, I'm going to jump the red light. You know, you'd have to have something missing upstairs to not realise that, fine, if you are just going to grab a bike and you are just going to ride, you've got to realise you're a lot more vulnerable than that 2 tons of steel in the lane next to you. So that should kind of temper any kind of rash decisions or rash moves you might be tempted to make on the road. Okay, so, all right, you come to me and say, look, I've had enough of getting a train to work or driving to work. I want to cycle to work. But I'm a little bit worried about riding on the roads. The three distinct stages, there's level one, level two, level three. Level one's basic bike handling, which will take place off-roads. And that's kind of getting you to understand basic bike maintenance, making sure your bike's roadworthy. It's bike handling, so being able to do an emergency brake, slamming on both of the brakes, riding at high speed without going over the handlebars. It's also being able to swerve and make the bike go where you want it to go in a very short space of time. And it's also the ability to look over either shoulder and signal simultaneously to communicate with other road users what your intentions are. You find a lot of people that have done it kind of eulogise about it afterwards, like, oh my God, it was so simple, why didn't I think of this before? For level two, you will be taken out onto smaller roads, quieter roads, and you'll learn how to start and stop a journey, how to end a journey, how to position yourself on junctions, deciding when to use a cycle lane and a bus lane, when it's going to be of benefit to you, when it's actually not of any benefit to you, and again, taking matters into your own hands and making informed decisions for yourself. So level three, that will consist of using roundabouts, junctions controlled by traffic lights, complex gyratory systems, multiple lane roads. It's also about kind of being able to perceive hazards before they turn up, or being able to spot hazards 20, 30, 40, maybe even 50 yards down the road before you get there.
Well, there you have it. Cycle training sounds like it could actually be of benefit for all of us, not just the novelist cyclists. Are you convinced? Would you push your novice or new cycling friends to go and get some training? Would you go with them if they decided to go along? We know we can go and get it at our local boroughs now, so would it be something that you would go and do? If you're new to cycling, though, has what Festus just said scared you and scared you too much to ride at all? Let's hear from Mike Covenant again.
I wouldn't want to overplay the danger. I mean, if a friend came to me and said, "I've just bought a bike, I'm going to ride it to work. I don't need no cycle training. You know, I don't need anything." Da, da, da. I would not say don't do it. I would never say that. I'd say keep your wits about you, use your common sense, and you know, statistically, I think you have to ride 20 million kilometres before the chance of being in a fatal collision. You know, cycling is safe. Most people would argue with that because it doesn't feel safe, and this is the sort of slight contradiction that we have, is that you can ride around London and you can be in what feel like near misses, and you can have people riding too close to you, and lots of people will not countenance that, lots of people will not get on a bike, but statistically cycling is actually quite safe. So the fact that my novice cycling friend has decided to maybe cycle to her job at the hospital, I would not tell her not to do that. Lots of people do it. They might be at slightly increased risk from the people who've had cycle training, but it doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. I think everyone does have that right to take a bike and use it for their transport.
So now, if you're going to go and get cycle training after hearing this, it is free at nearly all London boroughs. So if you're a Southwark resident, you can register for free, and all you have to do is go to southwark.gov.uk.
This is the Bike Snob of New York City, and you're listening to The Bike Show on Resonance FM 104.4.
Have you heard of the Cobble Wobble, Froome's autumn hill racing event? Well, what about the Black Cannon Mountain Bike Club? They were both founded by Southwest cyclist and general go-getter Andrew Denham. I caught up with Andrew in the week to hear about his latest and most definitely greatest cycling adventure, the Bicycle Academy. It's a bike-building academy with giving at its core. Andrew tells us why bike-building is back and what makes the Bicycle Academy so unique.
I think it's all about connection, really. And I think there's something nice about perhaps creating the bike from the beginning. And also, I think people, materials like steel are coming back into fashion. People are remembering why they were so good. All the fact that you could make a steel bike relatively easily makes it immediately more attractive. But to ride, I think they've just got a bit more character, slightly softer ride, and just the classic look of a steel lugged frame as well. There's something just quite nice and special about it. They zing a bit, I think.
What gave birth to this idea for you?
So basically, I wanted to build kind of a comedy bicycle frame for the Cobble Wobble. The Cobble Wobble was a really steep hill climb, and I thought it'd be funny to go up on a bike that's a bit like a Low Pro with a tiny front wheel and drop handlebars. I guess it would look a bit like a funicular train going up the hill. So I started looking at frame building courses, and they all look great, but they were really expensive, and I don't think any of them would have let me build that type of frame. So that wasn't really ideal. So I was kind of looking around for something, and I was also trying to think of a way of helping various bicycle charities in a more meaningful way, I guess, than just giving money. And the two things kind of got tangled together in my head, and I thought that maybe there was some way that the two could be combined. Perhaps, you could have a frame building school where you give the first frame away and it goes to someone who really needs it, so that helps them. It takes the stress away for you, and to make that really work, you'd have to come back and be able to build your own frames, the ones that you really wanted to. So that's kind of the missing piece of the puzzle that makes the Bicycle Academy work, I think, and that's that once anyone's been on the course with us and they've completed it, then they can come back and they can hire space in our workshop, a brazing station and a frame jig by the hour. They can buy materials and consumables in small quantities, and it kind of does away with all the setup costs for them, and they can just have fun with it. So they can either just keep on practicing, or they can build their own frames or frame for their son, or just more Africa bikes. It's up to them, really. For lots of people, you know, in developing countries, it can make all the difference to their life. So for entrepreneurs, they can take goods to market. For kids, they can get to school, and for doctors, they can get to their patients. You know, it's affordable, it's sustainable. So there's a massive demand for bikes in these places. As far as I'm aware, we're the only place that you can go to kind of continue frame building. We actually make it possible for people to be frame builders as opposed to just going on a frame building course. I think the fact it's got a heart to it as well, I think that matters, and I think a lot of people, I guess, have bought into it because of that. And if I'm honest, I think it's, you know, people are lovely and people want to make things happen. And you know, we've been very open about the fact that we can't do it on our own and we need some help, and people have all rallied together, and you know, and it's thanks to them that this has happened, really. So they're part of that.
Well, the Bicycle Academy aims to open its doors for courses in the spring of 2012. Now, it is a commercial business, but a very ethical one, as you've heard. And so far, they've had people sign up for courses from all over the world, including Brazil, Singapore, and even Australia. Andrew has teamed up with legendary bike builder Brian Curtis. So if you want to learn from the best and provide bikes for Africa, you can visit their site at www.thebicycleacademy.org or follow their tweet handle, which is @bicycleacademy. Well, that is all we have time for this week, but I'll be back next week with Jack, so tune in then. In the meantime, you can check in to us at www.thebikeshow.net or follow us on Twitter @thebikeshow. I'm Jen Kerrison. Bye-bye.
Crée des vents sur mon tricycle jaune. Dans les couloirs du métro, je tourne. Et le vent peut souffler, lui et moi, nous sommes comme une flamme indestructible. Autour du monde, j'irai avec toi. Derrière moi en Amazon, moi j'ai pas besoin de Harley Davidson. Sur mon tricycle jaune, sur mon tricycle jaune, sur mon tricycle jaune. Viens je t'emmène, viens je t'emmène sur mon tricycle jaune. La nuit tombe sur les autoroutes, que tous les gens sans poésie se marrent de me voir pédaler comme un galérien sur mon tricycle jaune. Moi je pense aux gens dans le fond des métros qui s'enterrent dans leur propre tombe. Quand au-dessus des villes nous volons sur les ailes du tricycle jaune, sur mon tricycle jaune, sur mon tricycle jaune. Viens je t'emmène, viens je t'emmène.